the Christ of the cross. I'm always thrilled when Roger asks me to preach, and particularly when he sets what he wants me to preach on. So here we are, Palm Sunday, and Roger wants a Good Friday sermon. So there we go. But I think that's most appropriate. Palm Sunday. Well, it's the beginning of Holy Week. It's a great time. It's theatre. That's what I like about Palm Sunday. We're going to experience something of that theatre later on. It's the excitement of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, being cheered on by his supporters, some of whom probably understand what's going on. Most of them probably don't understand what's going on. But let's listen to how John describes the event. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples didn't understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, just hold that last thought for a moment, because in a minute or two, we're going to understand what John means by Jesus being glorified. Well, the crowds are using the words of God's prophet Zechariah, spoken some 500 years before Jesus was born, looking forward to God sending his Messiah, sending a Savior to rescue the people. Well, they've got to be rescued. They've got to be rescued from the mess that they've got themselves into because they didn't listen to God in the first place. And Zechariah's prophecy was fulfilled on Palm Sunday. Now, about the same time as Zechariah was giving his message, Isaiah was also speaking of God's Messiah to the exiles in Babylon. Now, if you've got the notice sheet, you can follow this reading. It's on the back of the notice sheet. Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 12. "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A suffering Messiah. And today we celebrate with palm crosses. For we know that Palm Sunday will give way to Good Friday. And the cries of Hosanna, God save us, will give way to crucify him, away with him. For this is the way of the Messiah. The Jews wanted a Messiah on their own terms, a successful military savior who would rule a mighty kingdom. But this morning, are we also in danger of wanting a Jesus on our terms? We seek to be messengers of good news this Easter. We seek to be messengers of good news in this community. We're part of Christ's mission, presenting his life and his truth and his love. And as such, we will give out our magazines, we'll give out Easter eggs. We'll seek to serve our community in the name of Christ. But what sort of Jesus will we present? What sort of Messiah do we want for ourselves? What sort of Jesus do I want to follow? Do we follow and speak about the Christ of the cross? I mean, our crosses, I mean, they're polished and empty. We can sometimes be heard to make disparaging remarks about crucifixes. Yeah, I know the reason. We've always wanted to emphasize that Christ is raised, and so the cross is empty. But for a moment, just stop and think. Do we too quickly take Jesus down from the cross? Isaiah 53, the passage we've just read, is the one Old Testament passage most quoted by the early church to express how they understand the mission of Christ. That's the mission of Christ for the early church. But today, are we looking for a savior on our terms? Well, let's start by looking at a suffering servant Messiah. Do we use Isaiah 53? Is it the obvious passage for us to use when we want to talk about being a Christian? When we want to talk about being the church of Christ? You see, Isaiah prophesied that God's Messiah would come, but people wouldn't recognize him, and they wouldn't be attracted to him. Paul picks up the same message as he writes to the Corinthian Christians about a crucified Messiah who was a stumbling block to belief for the Jews, and a foolish notion for pagan philosophy. Jews demanded signs, and Greeks looked for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Greeks. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Jesus, tortured and killed. Now that's hardly a powerful sign. Or the action of a wise God 2,500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, or even today. But both Isaiah and Paul recognize that this suffering Messiah glorified God, fulfilled God's purposes, and would draw people to himself. And Jesus on Palm Sunday, in John's account of the gospel, expresses that quite clearly. As we read at the beginning, John records the Palm Sunday entry into Jerusalem and says that the disciples only understood after Jesus was glorified. And then John recalls these words and words of Jesus. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would want to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And then at the crucifixion, Jesus shouts out that this has been accomplished. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and died. Jesus is glorified. God is glorified in the crucified Savior. So let's look together at Isaiah's message about the suffering, ridiculed, publicly tortured and executed Messiah, which the early church saw was fulfilled in Jesus. Who will believe this message? There's nothing attractive here. I mean, there's certainly nothing for our consumerist world looking for easy soundbite answers or a pleasure-filled life, an easy, comfortable Christianity. I mean, it started off well enough, didn't it? I mean, he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of the dry ground. There's something new here. There's something filled with all the potential of new life. There are angels and shepherds and wise men bearing gifts. But soon rejected as he grew up. This is well expressed in Steve Turner's poem, Christmas is Really for the Children. Christmas is really for the children, especially children who like animals, stables, stars, and babies wrapped in swaddling clothes. Then there are wise men, kings in fine robes, humble shepherds, and a hint of rich perfume. Easter is not really for the children, unless accompanied by a cream-filled egg. It has whips, blood, nails, a spear, and allegations of body snatching. It involves politics, God and the sins of the world. It's not good for people of a nervous disposition. They'd be better to think about rabbits and chickens and the first snowdrop of spring. Or they'd do better to wait for a rerun of Christmas without asking too many questions about what Jesus did when he grew up or whether there's any connection. So Isaiah speaks about us and says that we're lost sheep. We've willfully gone our own way. We've turned our backs on God. We've decided that we know best what to do with our lives. And yet, God's Messiah bears our punishment, bears our pain. He's the sacrificial lamb of Jewish temple worship, who bears away our sins and repairs our broken relationship with God. You take a nice newborn lamb, one that is absolutely perfect, and you kill it and you sacrifice it because it takes our place. And Jesus takes our place in that way. He was innocent and he suffered and died. And yet Isaiah tells us that that was what God planned. That was God's purpose. That was God's will. This is God at work to fulfill God's purposes in redeeming the world to himself. This is God's way of saying, come back home, come back into the family, because I really love you and I want you to be with me. We read the words. But do we accept that this is God's will for us? Is this God's purpose? Do we try to bypass the reality of the Christ of the cross? After the suffering, says Isaiah, he will see the light of life. He has his place among the great because he's poured out his life to death and has been numbered with the transgressors. His death is the perfect remedy for my broken relationship with God. And in the cross, Jesus has stood in the place of the transgressors. He stood in our place, human rebels. He's experienced the abandonment of God. What you do with a rebel, what you do with somebody who has turned their back on you, is you turn your back on them. He's known the abandonment of God and has brought us back into a fulfilled relationship with God. And God holds us, and God loves us, and God will make sense of our lives. So in Jesus, God has shared our life. He's shared our death. He's borne our sin. He's able to make intercession before God because he has stood where we are, because he has brought us back into a relationship with God. He can talk to his Father about us and about our needs. And about God's love to bring us back into the family. He has experienced the abandonment of God, of the sinner in death, so that we will not be abandoned in death, but that we will know the love of God holding on to us through death and into eternal life. Now that's good news. This is the Christ of the cross. Well, of course, now comes our part in the mission of the suffering servant. How do we proclaim this good news? Today's Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of the festival. And Jesus takes part in a Palm Sunday demonstration, but Jesus knows that it's going to work its way out into a violent conclusion. You see, Jesus fitted the bill. I mean, his words, his explanation of God's promises, his miracles. Could he be the Messiah? Is this our Savior? They cheered him into Jerusalem. They waved their palm branches in the air. But Jesus wasn't quite what they expected. He was no military leader who was going to lead an uprising against the Romans. Jesus brought peace. He brought a new relationship with God. He brought a new relationship of love between people. Now, of course, you and I want that. as much as the cheering crowds on Palm Sunday wanted it. But this peace and this reconciliation is not found with powerful leaders. It's not found with military action. This is discovered through love. This is found in living like Jesus, being a faithful servant. Because you see, Jesus died to bring about our rescue, to bring about these peaceful relationships. And our call is to live a life of sacrificial love on behalf of others and on behalf of the world. As Jesus said, you need to deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. You see, Jesus' kingdom, what Jesus is asking us to be part of, is something radical. It's radically different from what people wanted. And his kingdom people are going to be radically different because they're going to be marked out by selfless, sacrificial love for the world and for all people. And so the palm branches are woven into a palm cross so that we will remember that God's rescue plan for us and the world comes through the cross. And these palm crosses are then burnt and used for ashing on Ash Wednesday at the beginning of Lent so that we will continue to focus on the cross. Jesus rode into Jerusalem. He was hailed as the promised Jewish Messiah, but he brought peace and not a sword. He brought reconciliation and not an uprising. This was a dangerous peace. This was a controversial peace. This was a challenging peace. It wasn't what people wanted. And while the crowds cheer and ask questions, the authorities become ill at ease. This was too much to take. This was too dangerous. Would the Romans remove them from power? Would they lose their power and place in society? Because Jesus is acting out the kingship of Zechariah's prophecy, which is to bring peace and liberation through sacrificial love. And that comes as a big blow to us because we're like Adam and Eve in the garden. We want power and control. And this is anything but power and control. But of course, only too soon, Jesus will be acting out not Zechariah's prophecy, but Isaiah's prophecy. And the next day, his action in the temple symbolically starts that path as he closes the temple down. He was offering a new way of a relationship with God. And it wasn't so much that the sellers of the sacrificial animals in the temple were making money. That wasn't what it was about. It was the place where they were doing it. They were doing it in the court of the Gentiles, the place where the Gentiles, where the outsiders would actually come and meet God. Now that was dangerous to close that down. Dangerous. I mean, letting the outsiders meet our God? But Zechariah had also promised this. He prophesied that the Messiah would bring peace to the nations. Well, the story is rapidly moving forward towards Good Friday and the cross. This is Jesus' initiative. Jesus is doing this, and for the moment, the crowds and probably the disciples too were enjoying the celebration and enjoying the excitement. I mean, it's difficult to know what they were actually thinking, especially when so many preachers have made it difficult for us to know. They've colored our thinking. We need to ponder on the hopes and fears of the Jews, the people of promise, now oppressed by a Roman army of occupation. I mean, they wanted liberation, yes. They wanted to be free. But do you think they actually wanted war? Do they want all the destruction and the distress and the death that we've seen in Iraq? and are now seeing in Syria and Afghanistan, a war of liberation, a war to bring about regime change. Is it possible, do you think, that the religious leaders actually represent the thoughts of most of us? No. Status quo. Anything for a quiet life. Do they want a Messiah? Do we want our comfortable, well-worked-out Christianity turned on its head? Do we want to read the words that Jesus speaks and take them seriously? So crucify him, away with him. And yet we call it Good Friday. What's good about Good Friday? We're celebrating death. But I mean, death is something you avoid. I mean, death is something you place out there in a secure, antiseptic environment. Put death in hospital. That's a good place for it. Do we really have to accept a tortured, crucified Jesus? I mean, there's nothing attractive here. No. Let's wait for Easter morning. Primroses and Easter eggs. Yet, this is God for us. This is God's will. This is where we find our forgiveness and salvation. Trusting our lives to the one who's been pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Here we'll find God's love, God's new way of living. This is where we will find the rock on which to stand. This is where we will find contentment and joy and peace. It's in the sacrificial offering of God's Lamb for our sins. This is the Christ of the cross. His life will transform our way of living so that we can be channels of peace. And through us, God can bring his transformation to our families, to the church, to the community and nation and world. A way of self-sacrificing love and truth. Not power and success and control, but living like Jesus. But the day's different. The children will soon be joining us with their Palm Sunday shouts, the joy of celebration, God save us! But the palm crosses are a warning. But we would, wouldn't we? We'd rather stay here and shout, Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. So what sort of Christ do I want? What sort of Christ do you want? A Palm Sunday Savior riding to the acclaim of the masses? A successful church? A resurrected Savior? One who has defeated the power of death? That final fear? For each one of us. A Holy Spirit-giving Savior who invests us with the very power of God. Or a crucified Savior who restores our relationship with God. The Christ of the cross, foreseen by Isaiah. One who offers transformation through sacrificial love. Yes, we want, and many of us here today know, a risen Savior. And we know the joyful presence of the Holy Spirit. But the way to Easter morning and to Pentecost is by way of the cross. For it's here that we find our salvation, our living relationship with God. It is Jesus' death for my self-centered, God-denying life that opens up the way to life with God, who will make sense of my life and give me peace and hope. and our lives lived this way will bring transformation to the world. We're a Good Friday people before we can become an Easter or a Pentecostal people. Christ crucified is my Savior. He's the source of reconciliation and peace for the world. We're going to pray together as we reflect on these words of Isaiah. I want to begin our prayers with a short prayer written by Viv O'Brien, who is a member of the ministry department of the Baptist Union. Let's pray. Life-giving God, you must have watched his bones too. Watched them forming and knitting together in Mary's womb. Did you hold your breath as she screamed and pushed him out onto the straw? Were you proud of him? As you watched him grow to maturity, did you shudder at what was to come? Did you ache to take the cup as he sobbed in the garden, longing to spare him the agony, as any parent would? On the cross, those bones you watched being formed in secret were wrenched, dislocated, broken, just like his mother's heart. He felt abandoned, forsaken. My God, where were you in the torment, the humiliation, the crushing, suffocating darkness? How did it feel? Pain-bearing, risk-taking God, when life, eternal life, pushed back the boundaries and you made ready at last to welcome him home. Lord God, you know about our life. You know our birth, our life, you know our suffering, and you know our death. You understand the journeys of our lives. And your deepest desire is to accompany us, strengthening our weaknesses, sharing our pain, giving us courage, offering to us your wisdom and true perspective on this world and on our lives. We offer to you in prayer all those situations and people who need your healing or guidance. People of Syria. As Baptists, we pray for the Baptist church in Aleppo and the Baptist pastor who has remained to share his people's suffering. We remember our friends and our family, those who are anxious or grieving. And we offer to you ourselves. We who need your resurrection life through your Spirit's presence. Grant to us your peace and love through Jesus Christ, our crucified Savior and risen Lord. Amen.
They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds are we healed. Let's say together the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.